Welcome, friends, to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, April 10th. I'm your host, Jared Petty, alongside the Rogue One, Mr. Gary Whitta.
I'm back. I'm here. Wednesday. Tuesday.
No, Tuesday. It's not Whitta Wednesday.
This is what a humdinger of a show we are going to have. I warned you before the show that my head was all over the place. And look at this. Right off the bat, got the day wrong.
You know what? The nice thing, Gary, is that Gary at 30% is still, that's like Iron Giant at 120%. Ultraman at 150%, Voltron at 170%. You are yourself a giant robot kaiju of creativity, and I'm not at all worried if we're only getting 2 out of 5 lions today.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much.
We're going to be fine. We're good. However, today has started. It's already a wreck. You know what? Printers suck.
Should we just talk about printers this whole show? Do you want to make this KFPD?
Well, I really liked your printer. You were talking earlier about printers. I think you should just go into that a little bit. The discussion that was going on in the back room a few minutes ago as we attempted to print the run of show for this
show.
As
you'll notice, there's no actual paper on the desk today.
No, which is terrifying.
The printer here at Kind of Funny is a piece of shit, just like all printers ever made.
Expound.
Well, I don't want to go into a stand-up bit about printers or anything, but we were talking about this because I just bought a new printer, finally. I went on Wirecutter, which is a website that generally I think has good recommendations. They just tell you, here's the best thing in this category if you're looking for a good thing. And I was looking for a good printer. And I went on to, because my previous HP inkjet printer finally shit the bed and died. I mean, it's been shitting the bed its entire life.
It was born incontinent.
Shit the bed.
Okay.
So I told you, this is a story I told Jared right before the show. So the printer's on Wi-Fi, right? That's how you print to it.
Yeah.
And you have to put in your Wi-Fi password.
Right.
My Wi-Fi password has the numeral 0 in it.
Ooh. Well, can you tell us the rest so we can hack your network?
I'll just lay it all out for
all right.
you.
Excellent.
The way the little touchscreen on this HP printer is laid out is that when it says put in your Wi-Fi password, it has all the numbers from 1 to 0.
Yeah.
And the 0 is at the very edge of the screen.
Right.
And that part of the touch screen is dead and doesn't respond to touch. So unless you're willing to change your password so it doesn't have a 0 in it, you ain't getting on the Wi-Fi.
You just can't
do it. That is how poorly engineered. How things like this even get through QA at major corporations, I don't even know. Why is it? Why? Why are printers so fucking terrible, Jared?
Has any printer ever really worked? And I think over the course of my life, I've been using printers since the early 1980s. I've had very few of them that were anything but a whole lot of trouble. Now, I understand they're practically the last part of a PC setup that's mechanical, that has parts that can
break.
Moving
parts, yeah, lots
exactly.
of points of failure. I get it.
But still, come on. It's been 40 years.
But it's deliberate, Jared. We talked about this before the show as well. This is how they get you. Printers are really, really cheap. You can buy a lot of printers for less than $100. And they sell you the printer cheap because they want you buying the ink. And that's how they really get you.
And that's what happened to us today. Not only were we having trouble because it keeps dropping off the Wi-Fi network for reasons we cannot understand, but also, despite the fact that I was printing in black and white, the fact that we're out of red ink somehow keeps that from happening. Black ink cartridge, still got ink in it. Red ink cartridge.
Print black because we don't have red.
Yes, can't
do it. What is going on?
I don't know. But anyway, now I'm stuck here, and I love my little Lenovo 100S.
And I've got the iPad, so we have our show notes digitally today.
But this is not my medium for reading, ladies and gentlemen. But that's not your problem right now, so thank you for indulging our 3-minute and 50-second rant.
I will actually throw it over to your room. I mean, this is not necessarily for me because I just bought The printer that Wirecutter recommended was a Brother, which I've always heard the Brother brand is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've had Hewlett-Packards in the past. I'll never, ever, ever buy another HP product again. Absolute fucking garbage.
Wow.
Absolute shit. Epson. We have an Epson printer in the house. Mm-hmm. Also terrible. Very unreliable. But I've heard that Brother is good, and that's the one that I bought, and I'm unboxing it later today. I'm hoping it will be good. But if you have any recommendations out there for good... if there is an elusive treasure of the Sierra Madre printer that actually is good and isn't shit and will actually print words onto a sheet of paper reliably, I want to hear about it.
I want to go back to, how about the old Epson MX80? I think that's the original affordable dot matrix printer.
Tell you the last one that I had that I like. I used to have a dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
Remember the one that had remember the old paper that had the two sheets, the tear off punch
holes
down the side?
Exactly, yeah, down the side.
Used
the
to love
folding
the
fan paper.
Dot matrix printer.
Print shop, man, got to make those banners.
But I'm old enough to remember when Apple actually made its own printers. I had an Apple LaserWriter 2. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
But since then, it's just been one awful printer experience after another.
Ladies and
that
gentlemen.
That scene in Office Space where they go and smash the printer to
that's
shit.
A fax machine, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a fax machine, but you know what I mean. Like, yeah. it doesn't work. PC load letter and all mm-hmm. that stuff. There's very there's a reason why that scene has endured in popular culture, because everybody in their life has wanted to take their printer or their fax machine or their copier out into the backwoods and beat the living shit out
with
of it.
Their, what I love is when Michael Bolton drops the bat and just starts going in with his fist.
Oh, and they have, yeah, that, and they have to pull him off. They have to pull him off. Damage like, dude, his enough, hands. Enough.
Yeah, sitting there. I knew a guy once that slammed a motherboard like that. It was an old motherboard, and he's just fooling around. He's holding it in both hands. He slams it against a counter, and it doesn't break. And he just goes pale, like turns gray instantly. And he makes a sound. And I look down, and all those little hundreds of points of solder on an old motherboard had embedded into his palms and fingers.
That's horrible.
And he was bleeding from dozens of tiny holes in his hands. It was terrible. It was really just like the worst stigmata you can imagine.
That's not good at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show, your daily source for complaining about printers. And also, each and every week, all the news from around the world of gaming. Be part of it all at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. That's kindoffunny.com/KFGD, where you can let us know what you think and send your questions and your comments. Watch live on Twitch at twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching there right now, thanks so much for not leaving this despite all the complaining about printing. Watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Hop on to kindoffunnygames/you'rewrong. That's you're wrong right now to let us know what we get wrong factually, not opinion-wise, please. Drop in and let us know what facts we're incorrect about. We'll read them at the end of the show. And
if
of course,
if you've ever had like a relationship with a printer that has actually been completely trouble-free, I want to hear about that too, because I don't believe it exists.
Gary Whitta taking your wrong off the rails right there.
Well, I feel like we can use it for whatever.
I think it's good for him. Yep, I like that. All right, so if you've had great printer experiences, we'd love to hear about them.
I mean, look, technically, you're wrong that all printers are terrible, and here's why. So you can get in there. I can justify it.
Certain products just don't work, Gary. I'm telling you. Printers, video editing software, operating systems, just designed not to function.
There's a lot of things that are, yeah, they're almost deliberately designed to break, so you have to go out and buy a new one.
It's a little weird. Support the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, and we hope you will, because it keeps the lights on and the show's going. All kinds of shows, but right now, some housekeeping. Greg and Tim are going to Mizzou. I want to say Mizzou, but it's Mizzou. It's just fun to say Mizzou.
Yeah.
But it is for me, anyway.
Missouri.
Yeah, out there in Missouri. Meet and greet Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. at CJ's Hot Wings on Broadway. That's 6:30 p.m. Wednesday, CJ's Hot Wings on Broadway. Come be in a video. And this episode is brought to you by Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. And now it's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
I like you attempting to do the Greg thing there.
I tried. How'd it go?
It's actually, I think, the closest one that you've done.
Okay, I guess I got to keep working on it, you think?
I mean, yeah, keep going. It's each time a little closer.
Okay,
I mean, you're never gonna be Greg.
I don't want to be Greg.
Nor should you seek to be.
No, I don't want to be Greg.
But it's not. But when you, here's the thing. When you don't do the jingle and when you don't do the news thing, people seem to not be thrilled about it. They want you to at least make the attempt.
Well, yeah, because I could try, like, you know, I could be like Wallace Shawn and be like, you know, time for some news, inconceivable, or something like that. But it doesn't quite work the same way.
No,
or
I mean, people want, even when Greg's not here, it feels like people seem to want someone in that chair to at least try to have a Greg-like demeanor.
What's that?
How many stories?
Stories? Oh, today? You want to know how many stories?
He's trying to move us along.
All right. Well, you've got the script in front of you, too. So today on
five,
the Rip Report,
five stories. A baker's dozen.
8 × 2 / 4 + 1. 8 × 2 / 4 + 1
stories. 8 × 2 = 16 / 4 = 4 + 1 = 5.
That's right. 5 stories. Kevin says, once again, how many is that, Kevin?
A baker's dozen!
There we go. Man's trying to move us along. Only 9 minutes and 20 seconds in.
The problem is here that I don't really remember my arithmetic that well, but shouldn't the 8 × 2, 8 × 2 be enclosed? Because otherwise you might be looking at 8 × 2 / 4. 2 / 4
You don't
would
have
be
to
a half, and then you're looking at eight times a half, which would be four.
No, you
plus
don't.
Plus one, but then plus one. Wait, you still end up with five.
So no,
with that's magic.
Multiplication, division, they're interchangeable.
Order of operations, yeah. The multiplication, division are interchangeable.
So when is it that you have to like close off the first part of it and do that first before you move on to the next part?
As much as I want to engage this, if we stretch this out much longer, I'm reasonably sure that Kind of Funny Best Friends are going to come to the studio and beat us to death with pitchforks and torches.
But I thought they liked it when we.
Do they like it when we do off. This? Okay, well.
But let's not. I actually
order
don't
of
have
operations.
To do it today, and I'm math. And if we're gonna do it, let's not do it with mathematics. Let's try and find something more interesting.
Something
get into the news, Jared. What's the first news story?
News story number one: Morrowind and more to come to Xbox backward compatibility. This story from US Gamer: Microsoft is gearing up to reveal some big updates at 3:30 p.m. PT today, where it's expected the company will reveal more Xbox games available for backwards compatibility. However, it seems the updates may already have gone live for some games on the Xbox Marketplace, as several original Xbox games like The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind are now newly backwards compatible, stopping the story right there for... Very happy about that.
You like the backwards compatibility?
I like the backwards compatibility, and I love the Morrowind. We expect Microsoft to make an official announcement for backwards compatible games later today, but the update may already have gone live for some titles. Thanks to Windows Central, we know that a handful of games are already listed as backwards compatible, including The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, Destroy All Humans, MX Unleashed, and Full Spectrum Warrior.
Are they doing original Xbox games are also getting backwards compatible treatment, right?
Well, that's not Morrowind. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
So here's the one that I want. I want, you may not, I don't know if you remember this. You of course remember NFL Blitz.
Sure.
Everyone remembers NFL Blitz. There was a hockey version called NHL Hits.
I don't remember
which
this.
I loved. It was one. I'm not a hockey guy. I'm not a, like a yeah, I would never play like EA Sports hockey or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it was a very simple, like, you know, in the same way that Blitz was, everything was a big hit through the glass, you know, everything was like a, was super violent, and it was just crazy arcade hockey, and it was so much fun, and it was one of my fondest experiences of gaming on the original Xbox platform, and I wish they would bring that back, because I would love to play that again.
Did the guy, the announcer at the beginning, go, Midway presents NHL Hits, the way he did in NFL Blitz?
I think it
Blitz.
Might have been something like, yeah, because, I mean, it was, you know, it was of a piece with the Blitz franchise,
okay.
So it was a similar
sounds glorious.
Kind of thing.
Well, I mean, hockey's a great match for that kind of game. That sounds
spectacular.
Because
it's violent, right? And like I said, every hit was like, you know, checking the guy like right through the glass into the front row. It was just hilarious.
I'd love to have that. That sounds glorious. I never played this, and
you missed out
because I like hockey
hits.
Games. But I
what
never
I would
that.
Love is like for them to bring it back. But at the very least, I would take
backward compatibility. Yeah. I want that. I want that kind of Obi-Wan game that's locked away on the original Xbox. I really do want to.
What
like,
really?
Yeah,
what is that?
Yeah. There's like an Obi-Wan game that's just on Xbox.
Ah.
That's like the only platform it ever came out for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd love to get it in my hands. But Morrowind for me, that's a big deal. Morrowind is. I mean, yes, Skyrim is a technical achievement of unparalleled heights, but in a way, spiritually, I think I like the big, giant mess that is Morrowind even better.
You like? Is that your favorite Elder Scrolls
game? I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue it's the best, but it's my favorite.
Okay.
Did you like Morrowind?
I've never really been an Elder Scrolls guy, to be honest
okay.
with you. I've tried them over the years. I tried Skyrim. And I don't know. I mean, I know they're great games and everybody loves them. But it was me. Just not my cup of tea.
Morrowind is like the most Bethesda game ever. That'd be how I'd describe it.
Okay.
It's just big and sprawling and messy and utterly exploitable and fantastic. And this kind of kitchen sink of glitches and amazing discoveries and really cool stuff to encounter and systems that you can totally game. And I love it. It's a really fun, really fun experience.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of Elder Scrolls fans will be glad to see this come back.
The fact that they have just kept going with this backward compatibility stuff has astounded
I got to say, they have really, they have kept their promises on this. I mean, they just keep delivering more titles every week.
So many of these little games, the fact that I can play that awesome little Blood Rain side scroller on my Xbox One if I want to, I love that.
It makes me think that sooner or later I am going to get. I mean, sometimes it's different with like sports licenses and things that would hold it up.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel like maybe one day I will get NHL Hits. Maybe one day I will get some of my other favorite Xbox One titles.
Any others that
trying to think, guys? The original Xbox. I remember the other day there was a YouTube video that I watched, and it was the original Xbox UI, the startup.
Yeah.
You know, it was like being inside like a Borg cube.
Yeah.
And it just, it felt like almost something from another lifetime that felt so long ago. And I still have my game, like my Xbox Live account that I still have today on Xbox One is from those days.
Rad.
I've got like the 10-year badge or whatever it is. But just going back and looking at that old green and black UI, I was like, oh my God, it was that. Yeah. It just felt like so long ago.
That thing, man, that Duke in your hand. You're going to get that that Duke controller they're making for
if
the,
somebody wanted to give me one, sure. But like, yeah. I'm not going to go out and buy it. But it bums me out that it's not wireless. What can you do?
Oh, I'm fine with that. If somebody wants to give it to me, I'll take one. I'll gladly wave
next,
it around.
I mean, if you get one here in the office, I'll happily, you know, fondle it.
Yeah.
Because I want to get that feeling back.
I want to play with it. I kind of liked the Duke. I have fairly good size hands.
I liked it too. Yeah. I was one of those people that even though I don't have big hands, for some reason, I was like, people were complaining about it. I guess, objectively, at the end of the day, enough people didn't like it that they recognized it was a mistake.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
For the Japanese market. But I don't know. I liked it.
I liked it. It was a bowling ball with buttons on it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
It was... Story number two in the Roper Report. EA's E3 press conference time announced, that's right, at 11 a.m. Pacific time on Saturday, June 9th, 2018, we, and this is from the EA blog, kick off one of the biggest video game entertainment events of the year. Gameplay reveals big announcements, some of the biggest content creators in gaming, and most importantly, you. Join us for a live stream of our EA Play press conference, where we'll take you inside some of the biggest games of the year, live from the Hollywood Palladium. The next Battlefield, Anthem, and some of your favorite EA Sports games will all have big reveals during the show. You won't want to miss it. Once again, that's from the EA blog. So 11 a.m. on the Saturday before E3, that's when EA's press conference will be happening. Because of my recent employment at EA, Gary, the fact that I was there not too long ago, I'm going to move on from the story after disclosing that, if that's okay, and I think we'll just forego the usual discussion and move on to item number three.
If you feel like there is a conflict, I will respect that, and let's move on.
But that's a noteworthy event, so now you know when you can tune in to watch what they've got to show off and a few of the things that they're going to be showing there. Next up, number three, Summit is under fire.
Summit 1G.
Summit 1G, indeed.
Twitch. I actually know who this is.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because you'd think, like, you know, I'm 45 years old, for God's sake. You'd think that I would have no idea, like, what's going on with the streams and the young people and how do you do, fellow kids, and all of that. But when I was playing Battlegrounds a lot last year, I got a lot into the Twitch streaming world, and I was watching a lot of the top guys. I watched a lot of Dr. Disrespect. I watched a lot of Shroud. I watched a lot of a guy called Anthony Kongfan, who is a really tremendous streamer. I have a lot of friends who stream on Twitch. Of course, my friend Will Smith, my friend Kate Stark. There are some great streamers out there that I would watch a lot. And I watched a little bit of Summit 1G. Oh, Grimms, who's also tremendous. Uh-huh. I watched a little bit of Summit 1G. But get into the story, and I'll provide my unique context.
Now, you're Gary OG, right? That's what you go for.
As in old gamer.
No,
I
was going for original gangster.
Original. Well, I guess.
Okay. All right. Twitch streamer Summit 1G came under fire from his community after streaming Fortnite with controversial YouTube personality Jake Paul. This story from IGN. After playing Epic's So Hot Right Now survival game with Paul over the weekend, the popular streamer received multiple complaints from his audience. During the stream, Summit 1G said he was a little disappointed in the chat, and he thought the 1G squad was a little bit different. I thought some people had a little bit thicker skin. I played like 5 end-of-the-night squad games with Jake Paul and his friends last night, he said in a now-deleted Twitter post after the stream. I had fun. Everyone is pissed. And you know what, Twitter? You disappoint me. Sup. I expect apologies raining in quick now. You messed up. You lost me as a fan for this, one Twitter user said. Paul is trash. Summit 1G's subsequent responses to the revolt were defensive, which disappointed fans of his subreddit. Don't care who he plays with, but I unfollowed him today when I saw he was acting toward the people who support him financially, reads the most upvoted comment. Others were more forgiving, with one fan claiming that humans aren't built to deal with the stresses of streamer life. The incident is indicative of the popularity of Fortnite right now. Drake joined forces with Tyler Ninja Blevins last month to play it and smash the record for most concurrent viewers on Twitch in the process. And the uneasy intersection between outside personalities wanting a taste of it and longtime Twitch streamers, as Polygon notes, searched Twitch normies on Twitter for an idea of the backlash. YouTube megastars Jake and Logan Paul only recently signed up to Twitch, with Logan amassing over 100,000 followers a few hours after he made the announcement. Despite their allegedly super young subscriber base, both brothers carry with them no small amount of controversy, with Logan recently taking a month off. of YouTube before filming a filming a recently deceased man who had committed suicide in the
suicide forest.
Yeah, the suicide forest in Japan. Yeah, I can pronounce that. I apologize for the bad reading here. Reading off the computer with the scrolling on my particular screen.
Again, blame the printer.
I blame the printer. I really am sorry for all the flubs here, guys, but this is much harder than my normal little setup. So, Gary, you had something to say about this.
Well, I mean, just in general, I mean, I think, you know, it seems like it's almost, and I'm not apologizing for these guys at all, because I think in every case they legitimately have fucked up, but it seems like almost every day now there is a new streamer who has somehow screwed up. They said something, you know, we saw PewDiePie get into a lot of trouble recently, rightly so, for some of the language that he used. Ninja got into some trouble. We've seen, you know, Dr. Disrespect over recent weeks has been in the hot seat for, again, comments that they made in the heat of the moment. Again, and the heat of the moment is no excuse. If you mm-hmm. if you say it, you say it. And I understand why people have been unhappy with them. Summit 1G in particular, it's funny, as I was saying, when I went through a period of watching a lot of Battleground streams.
Okay.
And I had my go-to guys. I watched The Dark. I watched Kong Fan. I watched Grimms. I watched my friend Will. I watched my friend Kate. I watched, there was a whole bunch that I watched. There was a guy called Happy Toast that I really enjoyed watching.
And what That's a great name.
And what I generally look for is a combination of good play, high-level play, because you don't want to watch people who suck. I can watch myself play if I want to do that.
Well, as someone who sucks and occasionally streams, I take offense at that.
Well, sometimes it's fun to watch people suck. You know, like Giant Bomb and Waypoint have a thing called Awful Squad where they, you know, it's fun. They suck in a fun way.
Exactly.
But I was trying to improve my play. So I wanted to watch people that were good so I could pick up tips and tricks and stuff. But I also want someone that I like listening to, like a fun personality.
Yes.
And The Dark has that. Grimms and Kong Fan and Shroud mm-hmm. and Ninja and all these guys have fun personalities. And I generally enjoy watching them. Summit, who is also would be in that category of top players, I never enjoyed watching him because I found his personality to be very abrasive, and he spends a lot of time dissing the people in his chat. And so when I saw this here, the way that he reacted, going like, "Oh, you fucked up because you didn't like what I did," as opposed to maybe he fucked up by having a deeply toxic personality who a lot of people hate mm-hmm. on his stream. He seemed to put that reaction. Like somehow they were wrong. It's like, could it be me who's wrong? No, it's the children who are wrong. Like I can't possibly be wrong here. And it definitely tracks with the way that I've seen him interact with people on his stream. Kind of abrasive, kind of dissing people in the chat, calling them idiots and stuff. And I'm like, this is not, he has a huge community. So what do I know?
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to me like a great way to foster a positive community on Twitch. And that's why I wasn't, even though he's a very good player, I wasn't able to watch him because I just didn't like the guy.
Do you think it's that he's trying to have a shtick where he's constantly?
I don't know.
Poking
I mean, a lot of these people play. Obviously, Disrespect is playing a character, mm-hmm. but most people that I know are just being themselves. And I don't know whether I don't know how much of it is amplified for the audience or whatever. Like sometimes there's a bit of kayfabe that goes into this, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I got the impression that he. I don't know, just has like a slightly abrasive personality. Again, maybe some people like that, mm-hmm. but it's not what I'm looking for. I'm increasingly looking for positivity, like fostering, you know, happy communities and people that all enjoy hanging out with one another. And this anecdote here, this episode tracks with my own experience of watching him on Twitch.
I do think it's good. I mean, you and I work on mic and live in constant terror. Because of that, because you do have to be aware. I mean, this show is streamed live right now.
This goes out live.
Exactly. And we could easily say something we immediately regret it. That is something that could happen.
Yes.
We work hard not to do that. I have certainly said idiotic things in front of people many times in my life. And I'm sure I will do it again at some point. But I do find that genuine contrition often happens in the moment and that it's helpful for somebody I find in a situation where they're being subject to widespread criticism to take the time to stop, think, and go, hey, wait a minute. If this many people are upset, maybe I did make a mistake. And to be able to respond to that quickly. And what I'm seeing here isn't an example of that happening. And this isn't
doubling down.
Yeah, and this isn't the dog pile on Summit. But I do think it's interesting to see as a new kind of internet celebrity is emerging right
yes.
now
yes.
that's poised around audience interaction in the most immediate way possible.
And we are seeing this convergence between internet celebrity and, you know, like the Drake thing obviously was seen as kind of a watershed moment in Twitch. And we're seeing more and more legitimate celebrities coming, like Fortnite and Battlegrounds are bringing, these games are now so massively popular in the mainstream that we're seeing real celebs come in and playing them and attracting. I mean, Twitch is obviously loving it. That Drake thing that happened, they loved every minute of that. And they would love to see more people, famous people, come in and play these games on their platform. But with it comes things such as we are seeing right now.
It's that with great power comes great responsibility. And again, I'm not going to dogpile. I've done plenty of dumb things in my life. But I do think that maybe when you go into it, it's not like this just happened. You know, he could... You understand you're going to have Jake Paul on your program. You should probably have a good idea of how you want to positively engage your audience about making that decision, because there are ways you could have spun that conversation in a very different direction and produced a different result.
Yeah.
Story number four. Overwatch Uprising event is out now. This is from US Gamer. Around this time last year, Overwatch unveiled the Uprising event, an event rooted in lore and the promise of expanding the game's story for the first time in-game beyond its ancillary comics and animations.
Interesting.
It featured a shiny new PvE mode, too, and now the second iteration of Uprising is live across all platforms of Overwatch. It is a new special PvE event and new collectible goodies in tow. Overwatch Archives is the name of this year's refreshed limited-time event, a seasonal occurrence from Blizzard that's bringing back last year's Uprising mission and introducing something new alongside it, Retribution. The special lore-focused event features over 160 skins, sprays, and other cosmetics, including an especially, quote, dope Hanzo skin, according to director Jeff Kaplan. The event most notably is hosting a special limited-time PvE mode that's a lot different from last year's Uprising. The Retribution mode spotlights a particular Blackwatch mission gone awry after a teammate goes rogue and gets them all in trouble, as seen from the perspective of Reaper, here still known as Gabriel Reyes, Moria, McCree, and Genja.
Genji,
yes. I can't speak correctly. Again, scrolling. Ugh. The amount of post-mortem-ing we did on Uprising was pretty amazing, Kaplan tells us from Blizzard's campus during an Overwatch event last year.
Last week.
See?
I'm here for you.
I can't see the screen. We're very curious about PvE, and we want to learn how to do it better. What's happening is there's this glare from the spotlights right on the... Okay. Angry.
There you go.
The primary PvE mode featuring Reaper, Moria, McCree, and Genji is the event's story mode. If players don't want to be stuck with three DPS focused heroes and one support, then all heroes mode is also available from the arcade. Retribution also introduces the game's newest PvP map, Rialto. The map will be an escort map after the Retribution mission this month concludes, where players will be able to team up to escort the good old payload across the Venice, Italy base.
I do enjoy map. A good old payload.
You like map. Good payload map?
Yeah.
So, are you a Overwatch guy, Gary?
Yeah, not like obsessively so, but I played it a lot when it came out. And I tell you what, I really enjoyed. I was on a battleground. I was in a battleground game. I think one of my friends was streaming it. And for whatever reason, like, we just decided like we had enough Battlegrounds for one night. Or I think Battlegrounds kicked us out, like the server crashed. But we wanted to keep playing something. So like, what could we play? Like, what does everyone have installed? Everyone has Overwatch, right? It's like, we wanted to play Left 4 Dead 2 because that's still really fun. But like, not everyone had it.
Yeah.
And so like, what does everyone have right now that we can jump into Overwatch? So we jumped in, and I'd never done this before, but we played a private game. It was just all of us together playing.
Oh, fun.
So much fun.
Yeah. How many
it's
of you
It's a really
there?
Great game.
How many of you were there?
I think like eight.
Okay, so 4v4 then?
Or? I think it was, well, actually there may have been, no, because we had some pickups come in as well.
Okay, so you but did
there was
fill
like,
it out.
Each of us had, there was a core of us on each, I think four of us that knew each other on one side, and we're all in our own little voice chat channel.
Rad.
And it was just so much fun.
You get your full teams
Overwatch
in.
is really, really a tremendous game, and I love the way that Blizzard is continuing to build it and support it, and just every year it gets more and more.
I love it too, and I love that they went for PvE and they're kind of like, we're gonna work a little outside. And the fact that they brought that back again, then you have this idea that there's going to be a special high quality thing that's going to pop up like this. And I think it's neat. Like, Overwatch is everybody's looking for that secret sauce on games as a service. I think Overwatch just sets the bar with the quality of what they continue to bring out.
I mean, Blizzard, I think, just continue to set the bar across the board. And what I find interesting here is a story guy. I've always felt that what they did with Overwatch was very clever. You know, Blizzard, everything that Blizzard does has a lot of story and world building and mythology and narrative and characters. And that works very well in something like, you know, World of Warcraft or StarCraft, where you understand how the story can be layered into the game. With Overwatch, which is kind of a Twitch, you know, competitive shooter.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine. You're trying to put story into the game, and that can be very burdensome, and not everybody wants it, but they still want to do story. So that was very clever, the way that they built all of the story outside of the game. So you go watch the cinematics, read the comic books or whatever, yeah, ingest all the mythology and lore, and then you carry that with you into the game. And then there's little, you know, just in the design of the aesthetic and the posters and things that are up on the walls, it's consistent with the world that they've built. So you feel like you're in that story world, even though there's not a lot of story to consume in the game.
Yeah.
But this next evolution, where they are actually starting to bring more story into the game, I think is very interesting as well.
They created that elusive thing, the lived-in universe, that place, yeah, that's always been there that you happen to be visiting. They did a very
and
good
just
job
great
with
characters
that.
And what I love about Overwatch is it's colorful, it's positive, it's optimistic. It's not dark and gritty.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun group of characters. I think it has a very cool message. Feels like it's like the super. I remember when it first came out, I emailed Chris Metzen, who was still working at Blizzard at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, like, I'm so glad that you made this. Like, this is the superhero universe that I've been waiting for, because everything is so dark and gritty these days. I just wanted something that was like fun and like kids can get into it, and it's just for everyone, and I love that they did that.
It is kind of the opposite of the Snyder Cut, isn't it? Like that's sort of what they were shooting for there. This is a game that has like a giant skeleton man as a character, and their choice was to make, and by the way, he's colorful and bright.
Yeah, you can't take your kids to go see Superman and Batman at the movies anymore. What has happened? And so in comes something like Overwatch to fill the gap, and thank God for it.
Yeah, that's a very good point there. I think that's a good one to move on to. Number five, ladies and gentlemen, I'm hosting the show today, and that means more Chrono Trigger news. That's right.
Oh, my God.
But yeah,
we can't do a show without some Chrono Trigger update.
We can't, because this is a personal crusade. Now, Chrono Trigger, that patch, the first of the patches to Chrono Trigger for PC is out now. This from the Steam Chrono Trigger page. Hi, everyone. First of all, we'd like to share with you what this patch adjusts in Chrono Trigger on Steam. Character sprites and background sprites adjusted to be more in line with the original style of Chrono Trigger. This can be selected from the menu as original graphics and is the new default selection. The font's been updated to give the game a more classic look. Text which didn't match the game experience on PC has been revised. A large number of other text issues have been corrected. Hey, we fixed the way the word trigger is displayed as it floats into the title screen. That was, in fact, bothering me. Adjusted the order of the demo video and animated opening sequence from the title screen. Yada, yada, yada. We'll keep on moving down. But skipping down, secondly, we're working on adjusting the UI in Chrono Trigger on Steam and aiming to introduce the changes in future updates. Some of the changes that will be introduced in future patches are a UI adjusted to optimize PC play, either with controller or keyboard, and an option added to select between a UI optimized for controller keyboard and one optimized for mouse tablets. That response. So there's one patch out, another patch or more coming. They've addressed a lot of the graphical issues. They've addressed a lot of the visual issues already, and now they're moving on to make it not feel like a tablet.
So I will be getting into Chrono Trigger on Steam, but I'm going to wait until it feels like it's been patched enough that you, who I look to as the authority here, can say to me, yes, Gary, now is the time for you to go in. It's patched to the point where I can fully recommend it. So you let me know when that is,
right,
and I'm going to go in.
It's getting there. We're going to keep following this saga. And why should you care? Well, because we got a terrible version or a bad version of one of the best games ever, and it's actually getting fixed because everybody complained. So
the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Good for you for complaining. Thank you. And that's all the news that's fit to ramble about. And we're not going to talk about printers anymore. Instead,
no. Maybe at the end when people have written in about printers.
Well, we may talk about it then. Gary, if I wanted to know what games I could play today, this Tuesday, April 10th, 2018, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
And this is, in fact, a weekday. So it's time. Out today, Radical Heights Early Access. Out today.
You don't do the music?
What's that?
You don't do the little jingle?
I figure we complained about printers for 10 minutes at the beginning of the show. I would try to save the 5 seconds.
Okay.
But, I mean, I could do the jingle.
Give it a try.
I know. You want to do the... Okay, we're going to do...
I'm telling you, people don't like it when it doesn't happen.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a jingle. It's not going to be perfect. So I'm going to be like, bump, bump, bump,
Yeah. See, I think it's I think that's right. I think rather than try to emulate Greg, you should carve your own groove and do your own thing, your own jingle. Right. I like that better than trying to copy Greg's thing.
Well, I stole that one from something. That's some 80s pop song, I'm pretty sure. That
Yeah, it's a 70s thing, I think.
Oh, did you know what that is?
I don't know what it is, but I've heard it.
I do recognize it.
We've somehow stretched this to 90 seconds. Radical Heights, early access on Steam. Hey, that's that new there game.
I saw that the other day. I'm interesting about that. So my good buddy Cliff over at Boss Key, yeah. Lawbreakers, you know, has unfortunately, it didn't set the world on fire the way that they hoped. But they're now moving on to this other thing. And I don't know at what point they made this decision. I guess, you know, Battlegrounds has been around long enough now that we are now, has been a phenomenal success. And now Fortnite after it, that enough people are now looking at going, well, shit, we got to get on this train.
Yeah.
And so here comes another battle royale shooter.
And
you say to me, here comes another battle royale shooter. And I go, yes, of course. I roll my eyes a little bit. But I do, from the little I've seen, I do like the kind of the 80s Smash TV game show vibe that they've given this one. This might be enough to kind of make it stand out.
It looks pretty cool. I looked at it. I was like, yeah, I play that. And I think I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to give it a try as well. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, Gary, because if we skip down a little here to Ron, who wrote to us at kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can. Ron asked yesterday on the show, on the topic of Battle Royale games, Tim mentioned that copycats could be successful, referencing how many military shooters released after Call of Duty 4. However, besides Counter-Strike, Battlefield, and Call of Duty itself, which were already popular pre-modern warfare, there were really very few successes. The only recent one I can think of is Rainbow Six Siege. Do you think it's possible? Only PUBG and Fortnite could be the only major Battle Royale successes? What are your thoughts on that, Gary?
I think there are more to come. I said even before Fortnite came along and had its success, when PUBG was like first really blowing up, I said, I guarantee you, and I still stand by this, I think you're going to see the first real glimpses of this at E3. I guarantee you, EA, Activision, Ubisoft, so whether it be Call of Duty, whether it be Medal of Honor or Battlefield, Battlefront, and Ubisoft, I think they'll probably do it through the Tom Clancy avenue.
Mm-hmm.
If a year from now, all three of those major companies don't have a Battle Royale play, I will be shocked.
It's very easy to walk into a meeting, I think, and look at a group of money men and say, hey, see this big thing that's happening?
Yes.
See this big thing that's happening?
Yes.
Fortnite's exploding. PUBG's exploding. We have great properties. Let's get in on it and get your money. So I tend to agree with you
it's very likely
to happen from at least some major outlet.
It's such a reactive business. You know, as Wayne Gretzky famously said, don't skate to where the puck is.
Mm-hmm.
Skate to where the puck is going to be. And PUBG skated to where the puck was going to be. They put the puck there with the innovation that PUBG and prior to that H1Z1 King of the Hill, King of the Kill, I can't remember what they call it, but those were the first games that really demonstrated how the 1v100 kind of battle royale system could revolutionize what has frankly become quite a stagnant genre, the shooter genre.
Mm-hmm.
Breathed a whole new kind of life into it. PUBG is a phenomenon. Fortnite, frankly, saw it, copied it, has been very, very successful because I think the cartoony style of it has opened it up to younger gamers in a way that I wouldn't want my kid to play Battlegrounds because it's too realistic looking.
Yeah.
Fortnite is more cartoonish, and so maybe that's been part of the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Wider, kind of more four quadrant in its appeal. But you're right. I mean, if not right now, then certainly at some point in the last 6 months, there's been a guy in a suit pointing at a pie chart saying, here's the money that is being made in Battle Royale. We need to get in on this.
And with a large amount of volume, if you've got one or more major publishers deciding to hop in on that or major developers deciding to hop in on that, that probably means there's another success out there waiting to happen.
Well, because, I mean, the one benefit that that the EA and Activision and Ubisoft type companies of the world is they have their brands, right? EA has Battlefield. Activision has Call of Duty. These are all like blue chip gaming brands still, even though I think they've been stagnating for years. And Ubisoft has all of the different iterations of the Tom Clancy license, which seems, you know, whether it be Ghost Recon Wildlands or The Division, one of these games is getting Battle Royale. I guarantee it. I would stake my reputation on it. You will see One or all of those big franchises bringing in a battle royale mode.
Whittlelock. Right there.
It's a lock.
There we go. Other games coming out today. Extinction for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, which I keep wondering about.
I don't know what that is.
In Extinction?
No, what is it?
Extinction is this thing that I keep getting letter messages about, and like I need to just dive in and find out more about it. It's a full price major release game that I have somehow completely slipped under my radar. It has something to do with big giant things running around, and that's all I know.
Okay.
So I want to jump in and find out a little more. Masters of Anima for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Owlboy for PS4 and Xbox One. Yay, play Owlboy. It's awesome. Project Nimbus Code Mirai for PS4. Regalia of Men and Monarchs, PS4 and Xbox One. Robocraft Infinity for Xbox One. Rick and Morty Virtual Rickality for PSVR. Starlit Adventures for PS4. Super Amazeballs for PSVR. Super Daryl Deluxe for PS4, Switch, and PC. And Time Carnage for PS4. VR.
A lot of PSVR games still coming
out. Yeah, a lot of it's exciting. It's pretty groovy stuff.
I moderated a panel at Silicon Valley Comic Con over the weekend. It was a video game development panel, and we had a lot of developers on the stage. And it went to audience Q&A, and one of the people came up and asked about what they thought the future of VR was. And one of these developers who'd worked in VR for a long time just went on an absolute like Howard Beale style rant against VR about how it has not fulfilled the promise at all. It's a money pit for developers, which I think is totally true. Like, the quickest way to lose money in video game development, right, is VR.
Is that because of the small size of the platform versus the resources necessary to make the game?
Yes, and I think we're at a point now where there's a lot of cynicism starting to come into VR. I mean, I was a big, big believer in VR when it first started. I haven't put the headset on in ages because, like, there's not that much worth playing. Mm-hmm. And it remains to be seen. I think, you know, Facebook is a big enough company that they're not going to just let it die. I do think the new Oculus Go, the all-in-one headset's coming out soon, mm-hmm. Could be what the platform needs right now, because you've got to get away from the wires and it's really expensive. But for right now, I'm not excited by a lot of the stuff I'm seeing in VR. And I worry because I do believe in it. I want to believe what we're going to get to the Ready Player One level of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to push through these early difficult kind of birth pains that VR is having right now.
It's still a very small install base. I mean, it's hard to sell software when there's not a lot of platforms out there that can use it, or people don't have the equipment. And I think that's going to be
The Oculus Go is going to be a big deal. $199, totally self-contained. You don't even need to like put your phone in there or anything. Yeah. It's just going to hopefully slap it on and it's going to work. And that won't be as rich as an experience as you might get with $1,000 Vive Pro.
Yeah.
But again, who's buying the $1,000 Vive Pro?
No, I was won over to VR. They used to, when I was in the 90s, they hauled these giant units around video arcades in America when those still existed.
Virtuality. I remember well.
And you played it too then.
Terrible.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And but
put
I was
on
won
a big
over.
Stupid helmet.
Yeah.
And you stood in this big ring.
Yeah.
And it was like a Mech Warrior kind of game.
There were two
right?
kinds. There was a Mech Warrior one, and there was one where you shot a gun at a pterodactyl.
They were both bad.
And but when I took it off, I was won over. I was like, this is the future. I'm all in. HoloLens, I got to play around with a couple of years ago, and it still just impressed me to death. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't tried it, but I know, again, the same developers that are saying VR is a boondoggle and it's going to go away are much more bullish about AR. They really think AR is actually going to be the future.
Well, AR and VR are not as far separate as we like to treat them. And I think that frankly, I think that those two things are they're hand in hand, and I think they'll develop alongside one another. It's coming. Give it time. May not be here yet, but it's coming. Couple of new dates. One, this one, a bit of passion for me, Etrian Odyssey Cross. This coming from Twinfinite. Atlas has officially announced Etrian Odyssey Cross for the Nintendo DS. This dungeon role-playing game is the next installment in the series, featuring a crossover of 19 classes from the previous entries. On top of that, there's a brand new hero class. The break boost system from the second game, woohoo, will also be returning to Cross, as well as the expanded character creation system from the fifth game, once again from Twinfinite. Similarly, you also use the portrait artwork used in previous games, making for an interesting crossover experience. Etrian Odyssey Cross will also feature the largest number of maps in the series to date, set in the remote island of the distant sea Lemuria. That said, Atlas will be revealing more information about the game in the near future. All that said, it still remains to be seen if they plan to bring the title over to the West. Etrian Mystery Dungeon 2 originally launched last year and is yet to receive a local localization announcement. Meanwhile, the fifth game launched in the West more than a year after its initial release in Japan, Etrian Odyssey Cross, is slated to release August 6th in Japan. You ever played an Etrian Odyssey game?
No, this is all Greek to me.
They are dope. Etrian Odyssey games are fantastic.
Okay.
They are these marvelous, out-of-the-eyes, old-school dungeon crawlers.
All right.
With a beautiful artistic aesthetic, groovy music, ridiculously deep mechanics, fantastic level design, which is what really sets them apart from most 3D dungeon crawlers.
Okay.
And most especially the fact that they use the DS in this really interesting way where the top screen is your interface. The bottom screen, you're doing your own mapping you go. And the map,
so it's like an auto map.
Yeah, it doesn't auto map. It has some auto mapping help, but ultimately you're doing the mapping, and that isn't as boring as it sounds because it becomes a very important part of how the mechanics end up playing out later in the game. It's really, really cool.
I miss the old days of making your own maps on graph paper and stuff like that, as we had to back in the day, right?
Yeah.
You kind of made the map as you went along.
Well, you got your virtual graph paper right there,
right?
And all these, they use it in such creative ways, Gary. I recommend as an entry point to the series Etrian Odyssey 2, which is one of my all-time favorite video games.
Okay.
And so this cross, really exciting.
All right.
Also, hard.
That's not a plus for me.
Not impossible. Not unfair. Not arbitrarily difficult in some old school dungeon crawler way.
Yeah.
But it's that constant tension between overextending. You know, I want to go a little farther, want to get a little more, and then being like, I went a bridge too far. Oh,
I'm hearing you.
Yeah, a lot of that. Other one very quickly, Mega Man X Legacy Collection dates. This from IGN. Mega Man X Legacy Collection 1 and 2 will be released in July as detailed in a post on Capcom Unity. The collections will be released digitally on July 24th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch for $20 each. Fans can also purchase a $40 retail bundle that includes both collections. The bundle will come with two discs on Xbox One and PS4 and a cartridge with the first collection and a digital download voucher for the second collection on Switch. The first Mega Man X Legacy Collection features Mega Man X, X2, X3, and X4. Mega Man X Legacy Collection 2 features Mega Man X5, X6, X7, and X8. These updated releases provide optional smoothing, CRT filters, widescreen modes, and the original resolutions for the games as well. The 3D models for Mega Man X7 and X8 have also been improved visually. Also included is the Day of Sigma video, which explores the origins of series antagonist Sigma, as well as full soundtracks for all four games, remixes, and brand new tracks, and a new game mode pitting players against Chill Penguin and Frost Walrus at the same time. Aiden asks, Mega Man X Legacy Collection has been announced, but I see no mention of 3DS. Will it be released on the 3DS? My daughter has a Switch I could use, but it's not my preference to play, especially 2D side-scrollers. I assume he's talking about that because of the stick. What do you think, Gary?
I think good times ahead for Mega Man fans.
Good times ahead for Mega Man fans, indeed. In response to Aiden, I don't think it's going to come to 3DS if they've bothered to put it on Switch. They could, I suppose, maybe as a download, but I think it would have come along with this announcement if they were going to do it. I don't have any inside knowledge on that, but we've all been asking for that move to Switch, and now that move to Switch is happening. So I think what we hope for is that snap-on D-pad for the left side that we all desperately want deep in our hearts. I don't know. I want it. Do you want it?
No, I've never really thought about it, but it would be something that Nintendo could easily do it, right? Because like you said, it snaps on and off.
Yeah,
just release one that has the extra bit on it.
Yeah, just a Joy-Con with a D-pad.
Yeah.
I would really love that. That would be a nice thing to have. I'm hoping we get something like that maybe around when Smash Brothers comes out, but I don't know.
Well, kind of in the same way when they refresh the 3DS and put the extra, the little thumb pad on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Ooh, that's exciting. Remember the Frankenstick for the 3DS?
No.
So, Aiden, I don't have inside knowledge on this. I really do hope it becomes available for 3DS for you, but I think you may just be getting this on Switch. But, yeah, some of the X games are good, so that's exciting. We're going to move on down here to Reader Mail, which is brought to you today by Brooklinen. That's right, by Brooklinen, because you spend a third of your life in your sheets. Gary, do you spend a third of your life in your sheets?
I guess I do. Like we all spend a third of our life asleep, right? And if you sleep in sheets, then that would be the case.
Do you sleep more than a third of your life?
Whenever possible, yes.
Yeah? I think that's always the veteran move. If at all possible, You sleep as much as you can, and you can get better sleep in the best sheets. And the best sheets are available at brooklinen.com. Greg Miller, he loves Brooklinen. He picked up his navy sheets and white comforter with navy polka dots. Jen was very impressed that he was able to pick out cool-looking sheets without her. The best, most comfortable sheets with no big markup. I don't have my Brooklinen sheets yet. Do you have your Brooklinen sheets?
No.
I'm going to get my Brooklinen sheets. I'm very excited. I still got to pick out my underwear, too. There's all kinds of very important stuff to pick out right now. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%, but Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 15,000 five-star reviews. Brooklinen sheets named the winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. All kinds of colors, all kinds of patterns available. I love a good night's sleep. Last night I had a great night's sleep, actually, but it didn't. This one had to do with location. I fell asleep next to a crackling fire in my living room.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I had the fireplace going. And my apartment's very small, but for some reason it has a fireplace. And I just fell asleep in front of the fire, and it was so wonderful. But what would have made that experience better? Sheets. Because I did wake up with that kind of like face burn that you get when you don't sleep on a proper sheet.
Right.
And you get that red rubby thing going on. If I had good sheets, that could have happened. Brooklinen is so confident that they offer you a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all other sheets and comforters. Brooklinen has an exclusive offer just for listeners here. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMESDAILY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMESDAILY. Brooklinen. These are the best sheets ever. From Billy the Door, Doki Doki to the Reverend, and greetings to the Rogue One.
Hello.
Yesterday on the show, there was a lot of confusion on the difference between a roguelike, a roguelite, and the origin of the term. Is there a difference between roguelite and like? Do you think the term has been bastardized? Also, could you expound on the origin of the term? Thanks. Gary, you a roguelite guy?
No, not really. Okay. I liked FTL. And I have, I'm one of those guys, I'm not 100% sure, like, what fits in the, like, what would you say are, like, the boxes you have to check to be, to be considered officially, like, a roguelike?
Okay, well, first, let's talk briefly about genre distinctions, which ultimately exist so we can find things in sections of old video stores and bookstores. Okay. I mean, ultimately, genre distinctions exist only for our convenience. They're not real. And so things always bleed over. Between one or the other. People say RPGs are based on numbers and character creation. Well, so is every video game. You know, so they obviously bleed. But I think that you can be fairly safe saying first that it, in terms of mechanics and appearance, in some way resembles the original Rogue, which was a PC game.
Yes, that is the origin of the term.
Yeah, Rogue is a game where you're exploring a dungeon. You have to worry about your food supply. You have to worry about constantly resupplying and picking things up as you travel through the dungeon and you discover what each item does. Things tend to be randomized before every trip through the game. So,
yeah,
item,
so like procedural random generation like you see in Spelunky and games like that. That's definitely a feature of a roguelike.
Absolutely. And also very often permadeath. That's a very common feature of what we consider pure roguelikes.
Roguelikes are not
roguelike.
Forgiving games.
They're not. You can save, but you can only save so that you can come back to your game later. If you die, the save file disappears, and you have to start the game all over again. So ultimately, to win a roguelike in the purest roguelike form, you have to start and play a near-perfect run where you go through, and because it's randomized, you can't just memorize everything.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting... I love roguelikes. I play a lot of them.
What are your favorite roguelikes?
Sheeran the Wanderer is probably the most accessible series of roguelikes I've ever played and one of the best designed. You can play that on... A lot of Nintendo platforms will have Sheeran games available.
Okay.
The original one for DS is still one of the very best. It's a superb game. And that goes all... That was a Super Famicom game in Japan that got, like, reported to the DS.
Yeah.
But you can... there was a Wii version, and the Sheeran games are great. Last one's on Vita, actually.
Okay.
And, it's really good. But the Sheeran game, because they combine a cartoonishness and the mechanics are fairly easy to get your head around. The thing about roguelikes is people start playing them, think they've got it figured out, and then quit when they die a lot because, like, oh, it's just hard. No, it's not. You are, those games are like fighting games, kind of. There's so much going on under the surface that you just keep learning. The death is a part of the game. It's not just so you'll be frustrated or so people think the game's hard. It's because every life you learn something new about the game that makes you a little better at it, and you get a little farther with every run. It's really rewarding. So it's when you do finally get to the end of a game like Sheeran and beat the final boss, and you're just like, wow.
But not a genre for the faint-hearted, though.
It's not. So Sheeran's good. Angband is another of my favorites, okay. Which is free. You can play it on PC. And you'll look at it and be like, what is this? Because it's all made out of ASCII characters. But you can get tile sets for a lot of these. And frankly, you learn your way around the ASCII characters really quick. It's kind of endearing. I like Angband because it's almost like a pure combat resource management take on roguelikes. It's really well thought out. And then the other end of it is NetHack.
Right. Oh, I know a lot of people that are really into that.
Now, NetHack is a different kind of roguelike. They can sort of branch. There's like the pure resource management combat ones, like Angband or closer to Sheeran. And then there's like the puzzly ones, like right. NetHack, where, yes, you're still fighting, you're preserving resources, but there's mysteries to solve, and there's all this esoteric stuff going on under the surface that you have to figure out. And depending on how much you want to be spoiled or how many guides you want to use, NetHack has been in continuous development for almost 30 years, and it's an ASCII game. So none of that's going into graphics. That's all gameplay.
Yeah.
And people just keep refining
it. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, did I go off a little too long in this? I might babble.
No, it's an interesting subject.
Yeah, NetHack is one of the deepest video games you can ever play. You can try anything, and if it makes logical sense, they have anticipated it, and it will work. Like, there's one of the classic examples is that, you know, you might have a blindfold on, and because you got a blindfold on, a cockatrice that would normally turn you into stone doesn't turn you into stone. So you can pick it up and then you can use it to turn other things into stone. But because you're blindfolded, you get to a staircase and you don't see it and you fall down the stairs and you break your neck, but you're wearing it. You know, it's that kind of layered. Everything works so crazy. NetHack and Angband both have really cool versions of that going on. They're also, again, they're both very hard. I have never beaten NetHack. I've never ascended. It's really hard to do. So that's pure roguelikes. They follow that permadeath. And just because you die, that doesn't mean the world doesn't change. And some of the games, like Sheeran, you die, but everything you do in the world between your last run and the next affects it. So even though the world's randomly generated, your relationships with characters change, or things become available in towns that weren't there before because you did something on your last run. And stuff starts to unlock, and I don't want to spoil it. So that's cool too. That's
cool. Cool. I can tell that this is a favorite subject of yours.
Yeah, and they're not all dungeon crawlers. Then you get into things, you know, that line between roguelike and roguelite, where you like you take things like the Castlevania thing a Rogue Legacy. You know, then you've got a thing that's like, yeah, this is totally a roguelike. Still got permadeath, still got randomized stuff, but it's a 2D side scrolling platformer. / exploratory game. And Rogue Legacy is fantastic. You ever played that?
No.
Oh, you'd love it, Gary. It's so original. You play as your descendant. Every time you fail, your next descendant comes along.
Oh, okay. That's a cool idea.
It's a 2D side-scrolling. It's great. And then, of course, Spelunky kind of has roguelite to roguelike elements to it. So I think that's where the distinction comes from. It has more to do with how far it gets from the original rogue. All right. Well, that's a long answer to a short question. You gonna try any of these, Gary?
Try any of what?
Are these roguelikes?
Well, what would you recommend for me?
Rogue Legacy is fun because you can start playing it immediately and you get a feel for kind of it's somewhere between Spelunky and Rogue, and a good feel to it. And Sheeran, if you want to try out what a pure roguelike is like, at first you're going to be like, I don't understand what's so great about this. And then when you start realizing how much is hidden in that game, what's happening on every level, when you figure out that you can turn into any kind of monster in the game and all those annoying abilities they've been using against you, you can start using, which open up parts of the map you didn't even know existed, that open up mechanics you didn't think were possible, and how all the items constantly interact in these bizarre ways. And oh, it's just so freaking rewarding. When you die, it's so disappointing because you've lost so much. And when you win, it's so rewarding because you really beat the game.
There is nothing like that. As much as I have said many times over the years, my game tastes have kind of moved away from hardcore challenge, and I just kind of want to be a content tourist and experience a good story and kind of blast my way through bad guys and not have to I don't like getting stuck in games anymore. It's just frustrating because I don't have time to get stuck. Like, I just want to keep moving forward. But you're right. Back in the day when I used to play games, that when I was still like had that edge and I was pretty good at playing games, when you finally beat the harder games and you get there, yeah, real sense of achievement.
Oh, it's just so great. Yeah, I love it. And it's not arbitrary difficulty. That's even the cheap moments where cheap deaths happen, you almost always learn something that's valuable for next time you play.
Yeah.
I like that part about it too. It doesn't feel like a waste. Squad Up! Lightning Hat NH on PS4. I've been getting into the Elder Scrolls Online recently because of all the content in there and the itch to explore in the universe. I'm pretty new at the game though, so I would think thought it'd be fun to start with some best friends if anyone misses the Elder Scrolls games. Once again, that's Lightning Hat NH. That's Lightning Hat NH on PS4.
I did not know that the Elder Scrolls Online was still going.
Well, I'll be. It is.
I thought it was one of those ones that, you know, like Lord of the Rings. Maybe Lord of the Rings Online is still going. I don't know. But there's been so many of these in the wake of, you know, World of Warcraft from back in the day. And none of them have ever really felt like what have been the big post-WoW MMO online successes?
Well, ESO,
there haven't been many.
ESO is still going and still updated.
Okay.
That's my understanding. And of course, EVE, which is the Lunatic Fringe, but my favorite MMO.
I love it where every now and again, like once a year, you'll hear some story about something absolutely insane that happened in EVE. And I don't understand a word of it. And I know that if I tried to get in on it, I would just be completely lost. But like, I find that world fascinating.
EVE is all about player agency. That's what makes that game fun. It is people making their own fun.
Yeah.
And it is what I thought MMOs were going to become. MMOs became these very well-crafted, thoughtfully structured, kind of linear experiences where you happen to have friends around. EVE is just like, what would happen if we just gave players license to do pretty much anything and hang out and build their own societies? And man, yeah,
and again, every now and again, you will see things that are just like epoch.
Yeah.
Events that completely change the game.
It's like, what? And there's stuff like that. These giants. And also the fact that a lot of the stuff is when you die in EVE, there are real penalties. It is, you do not want to die in EVE.
I'm going to play a quick game of MMO Dead or Alive with you. I'm going to tell you the name of an MMO.
Oh, I'm not going
to. And you
know.
Have to tell me if it's Dead or Alive.
I'm not going to know this.
Let's try it.
All right.
Lord of the Rings Online.
It's dead, I believe.
It's dead?
I think so.
You might be right.
I think that's dead.
Well, this is perfect fodder for you're wrong. Again, Elder Scrolls Online. I would have said dead, but I would have been wrong.
It's alive.
EverQuest.
I think EverQuest is dead.
EverQuest 2?
I think EverQuest 2 is finally dead.
You think that's dead?
I think so. This is an uninformed guess. Final Fantasy 14 is going strong.
It's still going strong.
Realm Reborn, right. Yeah. Because it was really bad, and then it got really good.
Right.
And now it's a very good game and has a thriving community.
Ultima Online.
UO is coming back.
But I think Ultima Online is still going.
Yeah,
it's still running.
Yeah. The original Online is still around.
It's still running.
Because I hopped in there not too long ago. And there's
and
a new
Shroud of
the Avatar, which is effectively UO 2.0. Yeah.
Yeah. Richard will never move on. And God bless him for it. He will keep making those games.
Richard Garriott, you just keep making games. I'm okay with that. That's my unicorn. I've never actually gotten to meet Richard Garriott.
And, oh, really?
He had more of an influence on my childhood than probably any other game designer outside of Miyamoto. And somebody I'd really just probably melt near, you know, just do that thing
where
I try to be cool.
Well, if we're ever all in the same room together, I'll introduce you.
Groovy. That makes me
happy. Nice guy.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard he's a really nice guy. It's also, his house has a moat. So
I've been there. It's a very impressive house.
That's freaking rad. Yeah. I appreciate anybody's house has a moat. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to do a past assault salty segment here at the end, but I think that printer ran at the beginning.
I felt like the salt came early.
Salt came early. That's right. We should have
planned it more. If you should have said, when I was ranting about printers in the back room there, you should have said, you know what, let's make this the salt.
Well,
we opened with it instead.
I thought about that before the show. But I figured that if I didn't explain, because I knew I was going to be reading badly.
Yeah.
Because between the lights this does not work for me. I'm an old man. I don't have my computer glasses with me today, which means anything like from here like that is very hard for me to read. The lights reflecting off it. It's not scrolling smoothly. It's all a disaster. But we don't want to oversalt today's show.
No, so we definitely do not.
So instead, I think we need to tell the good people that we really appreciate them watching today, being a part of things, and find out what we were wrong about. Gary, what were we wrong about?
Okay. Oh, I see him popping in right now. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out like where this first gets picked up, like the new ones from today, because this has like ones that are like days old. Someone needs to go in and like clear these all out.
All right.
Radical Heights has been in development for 5 months. That kind of tracks with like the first. About 5 months ago, people would be going like, we should get in on this. We should get in on this before everyone else does.
Yeah, that puts us, what, right in about November?
Yep,
yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's about
GTA
right.
GTA Online already has a Battle Royale mode. That's right. They did add that recently.
Yep. GTA Online, pretty neat stuff in there.
Let's see.
They update that constantly. There's a new event going on this week, I think.
Let's see. The printer problem can be mitigated by getting a laser printer. Injects are the fuckers that are designed to break all the time. That's what I got. I got a laser.
You got a brother laser printer.
I got a brother laser printer. So I'm gonna unbox it later, and I'm very, very hopeful that this will be the end of my printer woes.
Yeah.
How many sheets do you think you print a day?
Hardly ever any, but like I don't even have. Like somebody sent me a thing the other day saying like, can you print this out and return it? I'm like, I don't have a printer. At least not one that works. But now from now on. I will be able to print.
I probably print about 5 sheets a day at home working on the shows and stuff.
There's a thing here about how to do parentheticals and arithmetic, so I'm going to skip over that. Jared, you don't want Obi-Wan on Xbox. It was terrible.
Okay, that's fair.
The jingle that you did earlier was from Herbie Hancock's Rocket.
There we go!
There you go. Definitely thanks. Makes a lot of sense. A couple of people brought in, came in with that. Microsoft does not add Xbox or Xbox 360 games to the backwards compatibility program on a week. I said like every week. They don't do it.
It's not every week.
But they're regularly enough that, again, it's quite impressive.
Quite regularly. Yeah, you check Major Nelson's blog. It seems like something's always popping up there.
According to isitdownrightnow.com, you can still connect to the servers for Lord of the Rings Online.
Wow.
For the MMG, Lord of the Rings Online, Dungeons & Dragons Online, still alive and kicking.
Oh, there we go.
And let's not forget Guild Wars 2. Remember Guild Wars? That's still going.
Oh, my gosh. Guild Wars 2. Now, you're just opening up whole worlds of, what was the, it wasn't Guild Wars. What was the free one? Everybody played forever. Always had the ads all around the edges of it. People play RuneQuest. RuneScape.
There's a bunch of them popping in now because we just did this. Lord of the Rings Online is still running. EverQuest 2 and Ultimate Online are all still running. Isn't that amazing?
That makes me happy.
How committed must you be?
Well, I mean, you've been there a while. Some of the more primitive ones had... There was this design approach. I think it was Scott Sharkey said this once. To some of those old games, like, they didn't know how to make multiplayer RPGs. So they just took all the stuff from single player RPGs and sort of threw it in to see what would work.
Right.
And things they thought were fun ideas. And that created these terribly broken games in a lot of ways, but they were really interesting. And you could try new stuff. And there's a real appeal to that. I mean, I wasn't at the Black Dye Tubs in Ultima Online. I'm not sure they ever did reissue an official Black Dye Tub, which was like a hack for a while. And they only made so many of them into this, you know, for years and years. Again, I could be getting this wrong. You could only get black dyed clothing through a hack that they allowed people to keep in the game because a few people had spent legit gold for it. I might have that whole story wrong.
Not only is Lord of the Rings Online still going, they recently released a Mordor expansion.
Well, I'll be.
It says, while not big, it has its fan base. And again, I don't know what the economics are of like how many people are out there and how they keep it ticking over. Because it's expensive to run these MMOs and keep the servers up and keep them maintained.
I imagine if you got subscriber base that's willing to keep paying in, that you can probably make it work.
It's interesting. You talk about like everyone like jumping in, like, you know, like the Battle Royale, everyone's jumping in now after PUBG. Everyone jumped in after WoW, but nobody did it, right? Nobody, at least in terms of financial success and popularity and footprint. And WoW's been around a long time. Nobody ever beat it. No one ever came in and topped it. WoW is still the biggest one, and it's fallen way off from where it used to be.
Now, Eve, I think, does really well, and I think The Elder Scrolls Online's done quite well, and there's one more. Final Fantasy. I think those three have all been pretty lucrative.
Right.
That would be...
But nothing is really kind of... In kind of like the pop culture, like... conversation when you think about like someone said to you like name an MMO, most people are going to say World of Warcraft. Like there isn't anything out there that has kind of, you know what I mean, that has kind of occupied that space in people's minds.
Well, they take approximately $6 billion to create.
Yes.
And I think that's a lot of it. There's just so much investment, and it really is hard to try. At first, you get all that money, people rushing in to challenge the top dog.
Oh, not sorry. Old Republic, of course, is a big one that we forgot about. That, for me, was the big one I really hoped for.
Yeah.
Because BioWare, You know, I love Old Republic. I love Knights of the Republic. I love all of the BioWare, you know, Mass Effect, all that stuff. Love it. Can't get enough of it. And I was at a point where I used to play WoW a lot. I was hardcore into WoW. It was like my second job. Part of the reason why I had to stop playing. It was taking. I was in a high level raiding guild on a hardcore PvP server.
I had to quit Eve because
we were an alliance guild. The Horde hated us so much. We were on a very short list of kill on site for Horde guilds. Like, it was like if they saw our guild, because we would grief Horde all the time, like come in and like mess up their raiding counters, because that was just fun for us, that we became like we were marked for death. The other guilds, Horde guilds, knew that if they saw us, whatever they were doing, they would break off and come after us.
So you were a griefer?
No, like, we didn't go out of our... Oh, no, we did. We did go out of our way. We went very far out of our way. We raided Horde towns. We killed their NPC bosses and quest givers. And it was... I mean, it's all part of the fun.
Yeah.
It's all part of the fun. And I loved doing it, but it got to a point where it got to be a little bit too serious. Well, like, I would log on 2 minutes late for a raid, and, you know, one of the officers would give me grief for, like, having not been... Either being 2 minutes late, or I haven't collected enough potions for the raid or whatever. And it just it felt like having a second job.
Yeah.
And so I started to drift away, and it was around that time that... Old Republic was coming down. I thought, oh, this could be it for me. Like, right, Star Wars, obviously, I love it. MMO, love that. Great story from BioWare. All of these things were great. And then I got into it, and it just felt like... Even though it had all of those things... It's the same thing. Go kill 10 womp rats and I'll give you a slightly better piece of armor. Mm-hmm. It's just that grind is just boring. I'm really, really hoping that all of the games, I guess games of a service really are the new MMOs, like Destiny and Anthem. These are going to be the new, what we think of as MMOs. But I find them boring too. It's just endless carrot and stick grinding.
I'm reluctant to say this because I might ruin your life, but you might want to try Eve.
No, it's too not hardcore.
It's not.
I know it isn't, but it's also a lot of other things that I probably would find too difficult to get into. I've come this close to get into it on a number of occasions, but like again, I don't have the kind of life that could sustain what that game would require.
If you want to be in a top corporation, sure, but you can still have a lot of fun in Eve and not be deeply embedded.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're right.
That was always what I was never ever deeply embedded.
It's a dangerous conversation. The last thing my life needs right now is a time sync MMO.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. But before you go, tomorrow I'm hosting, joined by Miss Andrea Renee. Very excited about
fresh
that.
Fresh from the Games Beat Summit. She's been down... or up, I should say, in Tiburon, hosting the Games Beat.
She has indeed.
Video Game Industry Summit.
This will be our first time hosting the show together. Very excited about
that. Feeling good about the chemistry that's going
to
work out?
Feeling great about the chemistry. As a matter of fact, to do a little self-plugging, but if you want a preview of what's to come, pop over to What's Good Games. I visited this week on there.
Oh, okay,
and you can get a feel of what Andrew and
so
I are like on camera together.
Kind of sampled the chemistry.
We've done this before, exactly. Right, okay. So it's kind of groovy. And I think it was a fun episode, too. So we always want to support What's Good Games
here. I've seen you popping around guesting on a lot of stuff lately.
I try to do that sometimes. I kind of started this you know whole like video podcast thing and I quit my job and I'm trying to survive, so
yeah, you
showing up
have
on
to
other
do
things
it, right?
really
yeah.
helps
yeah, yeah
trying
not
to
a
drum
hobby.
Up
this
that support
real, this is the real thing
kind of is a job yeah so that helped but yeah it's a fun episode. What's Good Games is one of my all-time favorite podcasts. It's a great show. Recommend you check it out if you don't regularly. Hop over there right now, take a look at what's going on, and tomorrow Andrea and I'll be here. Gary, right. This is a pleasure
always. What is it, 3 weeks in a row now we've done this?
I think so.
Still loving it.
Let's just keep at it.
See you later.
May the force be with you.